Slate. So
this is
welcome,
cold.
Welcome to
it.
the show. Yeah, but this is the cold open because that's how we do shit around here. So
Nice,
I'm pulling.
nice.
Ooh, look, when I'm looking at my notes, you can see my eyeballs move down, but you can't actually see what I'm looking at. So welcome to the Untitled Car Show. This is
Indeed.
As professional as always.
Yes.
I am Ike. This is Ryan over there.
So,
how you doing?
Pretty solid. Pretty solid.
Solid? Why solid?
You know, not great, not bad, you know.
I get that. I feel the same. Like, it's February. It still feels like it's March somehow. So
yep.
That's really interesting. But I do want to start off with this because you piqued my interest when we started up the show.
Okay.
Yesterday was some sort of, like, superb owl happened, right?
The large contest.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The great container. Something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
So a Mr. Is his full name Thomas? Thomas Brady?
A Mr. T. Brady.
Yes.
Of Michigan State.
Mm-hmm. Oh, look at you busting out your sports knowledge.
Thank you.
I forgot that you're a sport nerd for a second there.
I would hardly call myself a sports nerd. I would hardly call it that.
You knew one college player and what professional went to college at, and I could not tell you.
I just read that.
Oh,
I
okay.
Just actually, you know what? No, I didn't just read that. I remember them talking about it repeatedly. Like, hey, he's a 37th round pick out of Michigan State. Wasn't even good.
Yeah,
I've heard that so many times over the years because, like, that's when I drop in and out of sports media.
Mm-hmm.
That's always been a thing that goes on. So,
so the longer story short, like, congrats to him, whatever. But the crazy nature in which, like. You know, he's been in the sport now since 21 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his sports career can legally drink.
Yes.
And so you went through and you found a list of the Motor Trend cars of the year from the years in which he won the
Correct.
Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
And so let's start off with what is the Motor Trend car of the year for? Is 2021 out? I imagine not.
Probably 2021 is out. It is
out. Okay.
Now, Ike, if you want to share your screen, then you can live Google these results and show all the people.
Yeah, there we go.
And then we can kind of scroll through and talk about those, et cetera. So right. Tom Brady's rookie season, I feel like we should do that here real quick. Not only was he drafted to the NFL in the year 2000, did you know he was drafted in 1995 as a Major League Baseball player?
I did not know that. So.
Not uncommon that as an athlete in a high school that you are playing quarterback, but you're also playing high school baseball because they're opposite seasons typically.
Right, yeah, yeah.
One of many who was drafted. I did miss who drafted him. Anyway, so yeah, played at Michigan, and then the year 2000 played behind what's-his-face for the Patriots.
Oh,
wow, born in San Mateo. He's a California guy. Wow.
There you go. Yeah, wow.
Anyway, so his first season was the year 2000.
Mm-hmm.
Motor Trend Car of the Year of 2000, Ike, what do you think that is?
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, because this is the year 2000, we were at the peak of American excellence, you know, .com boom and stuff like that. Like
right.
it was the peak of like, you're a young buck and you don't remember this, but like America was very full of itself and we were like, we're going to go do great things. And this is going to be another American century. So I'm going to guess an American luxury brand. I'm going to go with Lincoln. Whatever their version of the Taurus was.
That would be the Lincoln LS. And the name of the player he started behind that I was looking for is Drew Bledsoe, which I should have known. The Lincoln LS was the 2000 Motor Trend Car of the Year.
This thing is going to be like 20 feet of just hideous. Oof.
Oh, yeah. Now, you know what? You say oof. I don't hate how these looked. You know, it's very restrained. Which I could not say for Cadillacs of the time.
Yeah.
I believe it was also the first car to use their nasty V8. That's the front wheel drive thing, which is less good, obviously. Yeah.
This is
that's not a bad looking car. It looks very generic car of the 2000s. Like it has no brand identity. It doesn't look outwardly like a Ford until you get to the back, I think. But the front just looks like a generic car from like
that's
any
a proper picture. You know, it looks like, I was going to say, it looks like the generic.
Oh, go back up to the interior real quick.
Where is, which one? This one?
Ah, now see, that's not bad.
No, that's not. But why do you need, like, you know what says luxury in 2000? Switches. Switches on fake plastic, okay?
Well, that's if you look to the left, that's the wood, the fake wood grain one, which looks much better. See, you say that looks awful, but if you look up a C-Class or an E-Class from the same year, it looks an awful lot like that. So while it hasn't aged well, I think that's an okay interior. Like, that's a decent car.
It's a decent car, probably fairly reliable. I like me some Lincoln, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know, a bit of a Ford guy. But like you said, it kind of looks like, hey, we need a generic car, like looking for like this movie or video game, and we don't want to pay for any like brand like deal.
Right.
So we're just going to go ahead and like,
this is generic luxury car A.
Yeah.
Right.
Like that could be like a mid 90s Mercedes, or that could be like a Caddy or whatever. Like that.
You know what else I like about this, that you can kind of see in this picture, especially right here, this bottom right one with the painted rear spoiler, is that the C pillar and like back glass is like curved.
I do like it
comes in like a bubble almost, and I kind of like that, which is interesting because the next car we're going to go for Tom Brady's first Super Bowl win, which is in 2002. What vehicle do you think that is? Very similar car underneath.
Okay, so we were a year away from 9/11 more or less, so we gotta go with I'm still going American, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I will tell you that the car for 2001 was the PT Cruiser.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So
for 02, year after the PT Cruiser, we're right in that kind of time period where you've got kind of the luxury, the like retros coming back in, you know. Ooh. We're only a couple of years removed from that Mustang that's like, oh, it's going to be the old school style one. They've already transitioned the new Edge Mustang to start to look a little bit more old school, but we got that one coming down the pipe.
Was this the Thunderbird when they re-released the Thunderbird?
It was. It is the 02 Thunderbird. Which I was told by, I had an old coworker who worked at a Lincoln store at the time, a Lincoln Ford, and he said that the Thunderbird, you would not, he said to me, Ryan, Doug's going to review one. I would absolutely, I'll give Doug a plug. I am going to watch Doug's 02 Thunderbird review because I was told by a coworker, and I quote, Ryan, you will not fit in that car. Even though it's based on an LS, you won't fit. Yeah. There is no leg room in that car. I thought that's impossible. There's no way. Because when you initially look at it, right?
Yeah, it looks
I always
gigantic.
Had in the back of my head that was a Crown Victoria underneath. I thought, well, that can't be bad. Like, if that's basically a Crown Victoria, Crown Victoria is like,
they're fairly big.
Basically a ladder frame Mustang. Yeah. Right, like by extension, this can't be that bad. Right. They said, "Oh no, Ryan, that's a Lincoln LS." So I was like, "Oh, okay, that's a lot less fun." So
yeah, what? Look, a little grill here. Like,
yeah, they were always these pastel colors too. Like I never saw like a black one. There were always these like silver and red and blue, and there was like a faint yellow, like a faded yellow, like you'd have on like an old 50s car.
I'm pretty sure
a boomer car.
I'm pretty sure the only color I've actually ever seen in real life in is this color here.
No, these were semi-popular in my hometown.
Oh, okay.
Like there was probably more. Yeah, that yellow color at the bottom right. That was the popular color right there. That and the blue and the red.
Our walls in our house were painted this color, and we had to get them like repainted like instantly. Like that's just hideous.
Yeah, that's awful. Like, well, good car, and apparently they're worth a lot of money now if you have like a clean one. That they've kind of shaken that like old man, and now it's like ironic cool.
Yeah,
I would love to show up to a Cars and Coffee with one just to see what would happen. I would also love to 5-0 swap one of these.
Yeah,
I want and put a rear wheel drive thing. Like this could have been such a good car. This could have been like a future classic. Like, hey, it's a performance car. It's cool. Instead, they made this for old people in Florida, and it's just awful looking. If you're not on the video, I'm sorry you can't see this car, but the Ford Thunderbird. It looks pretty awful. It looks like, imagine if you took PT Cruiser styling and applied that to a two-door coupe convertible large thing.
I could never, you know what it is? It's the uncanny valley of like retro looking car.
Yep.
It doesn't quite hit it right. And like, it's so close,
right,
but not quite there. And it's off-putting. Like there's something weird about like specifically like in the side portion, like it just, if you look at it,
if you see the back, it almost looks Bentley-ish.
Yeah.
At the back. Like, if you look at it dead on from the back, it doesn't look like it at all. But, like, any kind of three-quarter angle or, like, the side, it looks very Bentley. All like that with the white roof on it doesn't look that bad either.
Yeah.
The blue one? Oh, that interior. Oh my goodness. That is a 2000s Ford interior right there. See, you thought that LS was bad, and I thought the LS was okay.
It's the
same. That's dreadful. No, it's not.
It's the same center console.
No, it's not. It looks completely different. Maybe it's just because the coloring's different. It probably is the colors.
Yeah, look, that's the same center console.
Oh, gosh. It does not look like it has much leg room anyway. Okay, so.
My final closing thought on this is, like, you know what it is? It's like they got, like, one guy to design the front and one guy to design the back.
Yes.
And they just needed to, like, figure out the middle, and that's kind of like they forgot to style it. Because, like, from, like, the A-pillar to where, like, the body line ends here behind the door, there's nothing. And then the hardtop guy wasn't even, like, in office on that day, so they just stole it from a Miata.
I think they genuinely took that hardtop off of the one from the 50s. Yeah, they literally had, like, spare stocks. I'm like, oh, I'll just throw these on here.
Yeah, no.
Because, like, 100%. It does look an awful lot like the top. Like, that's probably the closest part.
Yep.
So we have 03 was Tom Brady's next Super Bowl year. And I'm just going to run through this real quick so you can kind of get an idea of the flavor of where we're going. 97, Malibu. 98, the C5 Corvette. 99, the Chrysler 300M, which is a super cool car that I have driven.
Yeah.
Not enough of those out there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
2000, the Lincoln LS. 01, the Chrysler PT Cruiser. 02, the Ford Thunderbird. What do you think 03 was? Tom Brady wants the Motor Trend car of the year from the year that he won the Super Bowl in 2003. What car is he getting?
Is it a truck? Well, I guess they don't do the
truck. No, they do the truck of the year is like a separate thing. Yeah. I believe.
So we're looking at car of the year. So we're still American, I'm going to go with, because Motor Trend.
No.
Oh.
Well, it's American from a certain point of view.
So Toyota Camry.
No.
Do I got kind of the right idea going there? Let's Honda?
It is a brand specifically designed for the American market. Ooh, but it's not American. Oh,
the Lexus, that weird the Lexus LS that, like, Matt Farah has a million mile version of.
No, this would be the 2003 Infiniti G35. Which is the, for all of you non-car fans, basically the Nissan 350Z, then stretched to have a second set of seats in the back. You get it as a coupe or as a four-door.
Yeah.
So
these things, by the way, I can't spell if anyone hasn't noticed that already. Or for the audio listeners, I spell perfectly.
Oh, that interior is dreadful.
Go back.
So you thought that LS interior was bad. Yeah. That is fucking awful. That steering wheel is disgusting. It's got this, they're doing like it's the waterfall of all one piece of fake plastic that looks like aluminum. Oh, yeah. Let's just make it all look like, gorgeous. Yeah, no, awful. We actually had one of these roll into work today, too. So I went and scoped it out because I was like, track car? It was an automatic.
Yeah, which I think this is the automatic too. It's got like this weird gear shifter down here.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's a manual, we swear. I'm kind of dumbfounded by like this because I've been trying to describe the steering wheel to the people who are listening on the audio. I think the best way to describe this is when you were a kid in the playground and you went to like the steering wheel that was like bolted to like to the side.
Yes.
And it had like a, it's just like a big solid flat chunk. Like there's no dimension. It's weird. Like that look, I don't know why, but it just looks like it's uncomfortable.
It does.
Yeah.
Oof. It does. Yeah. This was also universally agreed on by all the people that I worked with that this is the world's worst car in the snow because of the way the transmission is programmed in the automatics, that it always wants to give you way too much torque and lock the torque converter.
Yeah.
And that they're just dreadful. Even with snow tires, they're supposedly awful in the snow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a good looking car there. So 03 Infiniti G35. I do remember Matt Farah talking about when these came out, they were pretty good to drive. And I would say just looking down the list at the previous cars, this probably was one of the better cars to drive since the Corvette for Motor Trend Car of the Year. So we're at 03 Infiniti G35. Then in 04, Tom Brady missed the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Didn't get it that year, but he got it in 05. The 04 car was the Toyota Prius.
Uh-huh.
What was the 05 car of the year for Motor Trend?
So what I'm kind of picking up from these Brady years is they're not innovative years. They're just kind of like good status quo, good cars. Like, you know, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with that Thunderbird. It's not innovative, but it's trying. So nothing innovative because the Prius was a year that
that he missed.
Yeah. So is it another Lexus or
So this is an American car this time.
It is an American car. 05 has got to be the 05 is the Mustang.
No, it is the Chrysler 300.
What? 2005.
Also, to their credit, when it came out, was a really good car. People did like those. They were very popular for a minute. Because they were new at the time, they appeared to be driven by wealthy people. They did have the look about them. These aged very poorly and were immediately, as soon as the second owners got them, completely ruined the car and the image of the car. And it's an image that I still don't think they've shaken.
No,
especially since
not.
They have not updated the car. Yeah. It's the same car. Now, that interior is dreadful as well.
Yeah.
In a very Dodge / Chrysler kind of way. And the only the way that they can. Probably looks very similar to the PT Cruiser interior. I think it's the same steering wheel.
So my 05 or my 2010 Challenger.
The same car.
Yeah. Had 5 years later, all of this was exactly the same.
Exactly the same. But you didn't have the sweet clock. They picked up on like, okay, we want to make this a Bentley, right?
Yeah.
So what are the things that we can make it look Bentley-ish, but not charge any more money for? So they went for the big grill, which looks great. I think it's aged reasonably well, generally. That it looks like an okay looking car. And then they went for the clock above the stereo, the like analog clock inside the car, which is always like a luxury thing that you see in Rolls Royces, etc.
Yeah.
It is then of course ruined by the terrible, terrible, terrible looking Chrysler radio of the period, which are all universally terrible.
Correct. My favorite thing is I can feel this plastic and how cheap it is.
Yes.
Like through this photo.
Not only can I feel the detail on the plastic, but I can feel how those knobs don't feel fully attached.
Mm-hmm. No, 100%.
Anything.
Yeah. Like they simultaneously feel like they're about to break and that you can never move them. Like somehow they have like shit stuck in them from the factory. Like
right.
Like these are not, like you said, this is to Motor Trend's credit. These are a good car.
Mm-hmm.
Overpriced
at the time, and now they are underpriced, and everybody wants to have them. And
A new one, like at the 2020 Chrysler 300, which
atrociously. You can't even get a V8 anymore, I don't think, or maybe you have to go to SRT's thing. I don't know. I remember looking on the Chrysler website, completely devoid of a V8 option on the 300. It's the 300M now, or something, 300L or S or something, but it's the same car,
I mean. Decent car. I get this. Like, oh, okay, Chrysler coming back. Although the Mustang, the retro-inspired Mustang came out this year, and I think much better car than this.
Much better car. I would agree with that. And I think the look has aged a little bit better, and I think, oddly enough, I think the interior is a lot better on that Mustang as well. So,
which is shocking, but...
Yeah, I really don't know how that... Like, the Chrysler 300 was a good car, but maybe it was like a sports car of the year versus car of the year. No, because they had the...
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, moving along here. This is taking longer than I thought it would. So we've got the 2015 Motor Trend Car of the Year. So we have to jump way forward from 05 to 15. There's a 10-year gap there.
Yep.
So from 13, it was the Model S. 14, it was the Cadillac CTS, which would have been the second gen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then for 15, what do we think it is?
2015.
Yep.
I just have a weird thing, like maybe like was it one of the Cadillac Volt cars? Didn't those come out around then?
No, it was not that. It was the 2015 Volkswagen Golf, which is a car.
Yeah. That is the most generic. I guess it was new this year, probably.
this generation was, I believe. Yeah. I think this is still very similar to the one they sell now. They just keep tweaking little tiny bits of it. So this is the Mark 7 Golf, which I think they're on like Mark 8 or 9 now, but they, I've driven them back to back. They're very much the same car.
Yeah.
You could still get the much vaunted TDI at the time, which got great miles to the gallon, but it turns out their DEF tank wasn't quite big enough, and they really want to stretch that DEF to be every 5,000 miles. So we'll just turn that down a little bit for you, unless we're on the dyno.
Yeah.
You know, so that didn't go well. But there's people, and especially if you get the Golf Sport Wagon, the like long one, actually a really nice car to drive. Yeah. And if you get the diesel one, you're getting 40 miles to the gallon. And
until they nerf it in a couple of years.
Right. Yep. So good cars there. Good cars. And you could get manuals. They had an R. They had a GTI. They had just a regular one. Yeah, good little car. And the Jetta, it was the same Jetta at the time, was also pretty good. So that's a good car. Probably not what Tom Brady wants to drive around.
Yeah.
But good car.
This is the Tom Brady of cars, I think.
Totally corporate. Doesn't look excited to be anywhere, but like gets the job done pretty well and is totally consistently corporate. The like really good car option.
No, I think we need to drill. Totally corporate, like you said, gets the job done, has like, can do amazing things. Probably cheated on some shit. allegedly. No, the balls were deflated. I had nothing to do with it. Oh, I knew nothing about the emissions. Like, but probably like begrudgingly, like one of the best cars of all time, whether you like it or not, even though front wheel drive and not everyone's in it for that. But
yeah, no, pretty good car.
Tom Brady's a 2015 Golf. Okay. So what is that?
Yeah. So for 16, it was the Camaro, which would have been the sixth generation. So it was the second set of the new Camaros. Mm-hmm. And then for 17, which was Tom Brady's Super Bowl year, 2017, what's the car here?
2017, I'm going to go with a Dodge product. Dodge? What are we looking at here? Dodge Demon, maybe?
Nope. So it's a 2017 Chevrolet Bolt with a B.
Oh, the Bolt.
So that's the full electric Eggmobile, as opposed to the GM version of the Prius, which is a less good car. The Chevy Bolt, one of the first reasonable electric cars available for sale. I think Nissan beat them to the punch on the Leaf, but my understanding is this is a much better car than a Leaf.
Yes, that's my understanding as well. Yeah, these are the first all electric car for the GM made since killing off the EV1.
So, absolutely. So yeah, good little car there. Nothing to write home about, but decent car. Yeah. So we have 2017, and then we'll just move along right here to 2018. What do you think for 2018? It is a what would now be known as, I'm sorry, what is the artist formerly known as FCA car?
Is it the Demon? I'm just gonna keep going with Demon.
It is the Alfa Romeo Giulia.
Which
did come out in 2018, and people loved it. Yes. All of the writers swooned over this car because it was fantastic, and even the press cars broke down.
Yes.
The press cars, which are admittedly put together a lot better usually than the regular car, and they still couldn't get these bastards to run right.
Yeah.
Now, granted, they're always pre-production, they're early builds, and they always had the super maxed out fast one. I'm told by people that if you get just the regular, the Q4 Giulia, that it's actually a pretty good car if you don't have to deal with all the things. And they're really great looking. They're pretty popular around here, actually. And the Alfa Romeo Fiat of Minneapolis is two blocks from my buddy's house. You can get great lease deals on these, and which is how you should buy one if you want a Giulia, because it looks good. You should absolutely lease one. And then make sure that you're definitely going to have loaner privileges if you do have one, because it will be in the shop. Also, you definitely don't want to buy one used, but they hold their value like shit. So you can pick one of these up, a really nice one, for like 20 to 25 grand. And if you want like a good one, you can spend as much as like 40 to get the Quadrifoglio.
Yeah. I mean,
which is a great looking car. But I mean, even if you just get the regular, the Q4 is still a good looking car, still pretty quick, makes the right noises.
Do you have the horsepower in front of you right there?
Do not have the horsepower in front of me. I do believe it's in the 400s ish. It's the 2.9 liter V6 or something like that. And it's supposed to be some percentage of. It's like two cylinders or lopped off the engine from the Ferrari California or something like that. Like so, there's, or it's like two, or it's like six cylinders lopped off the V12 or whatever. Like it's one of the Ferrari engines with some cylinders cut off. So supposedly it's a really good engine. I believe that it's powerful.
Do you see the first result here?
I do not. Let's see here real quick. I was trying to find your power numbers. How reliable is the on-car driver? Yep.
Yep, that's the first result when you Google it. It's the base model has 280 horsepower, so
which is the T4 multi-air, which is not a bad motor. Like they put that in lots of stuff.
Yeah.
And then the 2.9 liter F154 twin turbocharged. Yep, and it is a V8, so they lopped two cylinders off of that. Mm-hmm. We've got, where is the listing here? Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, Quadrifoglio.
505.
Yeah, I believe you. 510 I have right here. All right, yeah. Okay. At 6,500 RPM and 4430. Oh, it's got all the torque down though, which is nice. Yeah. It's a good looking car.
No, it's a good looking car. Very. My favorite thing is if I remember correctly, I can't remember which reviewer it was, but they were able to take a tube of toothpaste and put it in the body gaps.
Yes,
on the inside. I was like,
I believe that.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
All right, so, and then finally, the last one here, real quick, for 2021. I have a little anecdote to go with this that'll tie back to Volvo. What do you think the 2021 car of the year is? Tom Brady's most recent Super Bowl win, and this is just an absolute rout of all of the barbecue eaters. The retirees beat the barbecue eaters.
Yes, 2021. What was good this year? I mean, the Corvette. Would be my guess.
That was the 2020. That would be the 2020 car of the year. The 2021 car of the year is the Mercedes-Benz E-Class.
Really?
Yes. That is correct. That's what it says right here. Now, I don't know how they've picked one already since we're in February.
Yeah.
But it says E-Class here. So I don't know about that. Neat thing about the E-Class. So I took the last time I went to the LA Auto Show was 2017, something like that. Mm-hmm. And I took my best friend with me, who was also a car guy, and he was a mechanic. And the main thing I wanted to show him was, one, the stupid Infiniti multi-variable displacement engine thing, because I knew they were going to have to. So I wanted to show him that, and I wanted him to see, like, hey, this is what I go do when I say that I go do these things. And he thought it was neat. Yeah. And we wandered into, like, the hall that has all the expensive cars, you know, the BMWs and the Mercedes and the Audis, and they've got an R8 there, and he was a really good sport about, like, not being like, oh, an R8, because he's not that impressed by that kind of stuff. So we wander over to the Mercedes booth, and they have one of these E-Class wagons sitting there.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, this looks like a decent size. Like, I could put car parts in the back of this, and, like, that'd be cool. And so we go to sit in, it's like an E400 or an E350 or some shit like that. It's not an AMG. And so we're sitting in it, and the windows are down. It's the press day. And we're, like, looking around, like, flicking switches in it and stuff. He's like, oh, yeah, this is nice. How much is this? I'm like, I don't know, probably, like, 50 or 60 grand, something like that. Yeah. And the Mercedes rep comes over. Actually, it's this as equipped is $87,450. And was, like, all uppity about it. And my buddy turned and looked at him, like, for what? And, like, said out loud to him, for what?
Yeah.
Why is this $87,000? Yeah. And then we wandered across the walkway because we're turned off by this Mercedes asshole.
Yeah.
Wandered across the walkway to the Volvo booth and sat down in the V90 wagon.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we, like, looked around and, like, where? That Mercedes is 87 and this is 55? Like, where does that 20 grand go? Or 30 grand even? Like, what? Where's all that? This has all the same stuff. Like, who cares? And it's not in your face. It's not all ostentatious and terrible. So
this is in my mind, even with the cross country shit on it, one of the best looking cars of the, like, last. Like,
oh, absolutely.
10 years. Yeah,
absolutely. I don't believe that they will last very long. I don't think they'll hold up as far as, like, interior fit and finish and trim pieces and stuff. They don't have the feel of, like, a super sturdy car, but also everything does feel pretty premium and well made.
Yeah, this is
as far as, like, materials being good.
This is on my short list of, like, cars to, like, poke around for. Ironically, the Giulia is too, like, just, like, random cars. I'm like, if I find, like, a good deal on it.
Yeah. Rough way to the Julia. Oh, I wouldn't want to deal with that. I really wouldn't want to be like the fourth owner of a Julia. That would be, I don't think they will have fourth owners.
No, probably.
I think the third owner ends up like selling it and it goes to like a scrapyard or something.
Yeah, probably.
Fourth owner. Mm-hmm. So anyway, to kind of finish up on our Super Bowl tangent here, I only saw two car commercials. Now, like, granted, I watched on the digital thing.
Okay.
So I don't know if I don't know if I got different commercials than everybody else did. My understanding is I might have.
Yeah.
So I only saw two car commercials. I saw one was GM deciding that they were, it was a bunch of Saturday Night Live people.
Yeah.
Dang the Norwegians. We're going to catch them in electric cars. And their whole tagline was 25 EVs by 2025 or something. I want to find their actual tagline that they used. 30 EVs by 2025, so maybe it's 2025 like more. So I just wanted to click through Chevrolet's website. We're gonna slam through this.
Yeah,
and I'm going to try to count the 25 cars that they think that they're gonna make.
You want the screen? I can give it over to you. You
absolutely do, let's do it. So
stop share here, we'll do
bam share screen, bang share. We just want to share Chrome, bang, there we go,
there we go.
All right, cool. So all new Trailblazer, that'll be an EV. So that's one. Trax, that'll be an EV. Two, Equinox. Three, Blazer. Four, Traverse. Yes. Traverse is kind of big. We'll stay at four there.
Yeah.
Trucks, probably one of them. Five.
Yeah.
Electric, well, they already
probably
have that.
You'll probably have two trucks, as they say that stupid Rivian thing. Or are we, we're just talking.
Well, we're just doing Chevy right now. So we're trying to count to 25 in the GM pool. Yeah.
All right.
All right, Spark, Malibu, no Impala, huh? Okay. Yeah. Spark and Malibu, I didn't know they were down to two. I thought there was more. Spark and Malibu, so that's five, six, seven.
Yeah.
All right, and then Performance, I'm going to hold off on there. Okay. Yeah. So Chevrolet, and then we're going to go GMC. So we're at seven.
We did skip over their electric fleet they already have. So.
Right, but I think it's 25 more.
Okay.
I think is their deal.
All right.
Okay, so I still think there will be another one in these pickups. Yeah. So that'll technically be a different one. So that's eight.
Mm-hmm.
And then Terrain, nine. Acadia, I'm still like, that's might be too big.
Right.
But nine. And that's all they have. Mm-hmm. Oh, this Hummer's an EV, so that'll be 10 because that's not out yet. So we'll call that 10.
Mm-hmm.
GMC, and then we've got Buick.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty, Buick, we're gonna go for the Encore. I already picked that one. Encore and Encore GX. Yes, so that's 10, 11. I'm not convinced the GX and the GX ST are different.
No, they're not.
Envision, 12.
Yeah.
Enclave, a bit big. That's that third row one. I don't know if they're gonna be able to pull that off.
Yeah.
They'll show you the old stuff too. Vehicles. Yeah. All right. And then they don't do cars.
No. Apparently not.
Okay. Apparently they killed all the cars off. Okay. And Cadillac.
Mm-hmm.
What did I say? We were at 12?
Yes, 12. All that.
All right. So the Lyriq is coming. So that's 13.
13, yeah.
Which is their EV, like small SUV thing they've showed. It's their basically their Model Y competitor, which is what everybody makes now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. XT4, so that's 14. XT5 is 15. XT6 is a little big. CT4 16. I forgot where I'm at now.
17, I think.
17. Okay, yeah. 17. CT5 18.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 18.
18, yeah.
So either they're counting, because like how they have the CT4, the CT4V, and the CT4V. Yeah. Either they're counting trims like that, or either the Tahoe or the Traverse and their relevant brothers and sisters and different brands are going to be electric, or they're going to add back like an Impala sized, because like there's a CT5. I bet they'll bring back some type. If they do an electric CT5, they'll bring back like a Impala or something to go with that, or a Buick, or I think if they were smart they would use the Buick line to do all the electric stuff.
Yeah, but they're not smart.
That's true. That's true. Because but like you could make it really easy by just making like Chevys, like, yep, it's the cheap one, it's the working class, it's gasoline motors, it's what we've got. Let's go. And then if you want electric, you have to move up to it like a Buick or a GMC. Like the GMCs should be the SUVs.
Yeah.
And the Buicks should be the cars.
Yeah.
And then just call it that. And then like, yep, you can get electric Buicks. And then the Cadillac should still be the luxury brand. So yeah, if they're going to genuinely have 25 EVs by 2025, which one sounds like a tremendous amount of work between now and then, we're talking about the 4 years, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even if we give them like a 1 year, like might take them a little bit longer. We're still talking about a lot of electrification. So they must have either already designed these with EV stuff in mind, which now looking at them, the Blazer and the new Trailblazer probably were designed with that in mind. The Equinox is awful old.
Yeah.
And so is the Traverse. The Traverse is not a new frame yet or anything. I think the Trax is pretty old too. So I bet there's an Equinox platform new coming that will be, are they going to keep the Equinox now that they have the Blazer? What are the sizes? Like, that's the other thing, is the sizes are all fucked up and I don't know which ones are which.
Right.
Why is a Trax more than a Trailblazer when I'm pretty sure the Trailblazer is bigger? Because I've seen them both.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. I don't know exactly like why. I do think that what you're going to see, I think that one right there, the Suburban, I feel like that's going to be. So the Hummer's coming out and it's going to be electrified.
I guess, you know what? You're right. They are doing the Hummer, which means they probably will have a. I bet the Hummer is going to be an awful lot more like the Suburban than it is the pickups. I think they're probably still a ways off in the pickups, but I do see them being able to get that kind of, that Hummer is almost the new, I'm going to say this, it's going to be great. The Hummer is the new Avalanche. There, no. I said it.
No, you're 100% right. As soon as you said that, yes, that's 100%.
Yeah, there's no question, it's an Avalanche. Mm-hmm. Like, look at it. That's an Avalanche. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong on that. That's an Avalanche. And the Avalanche was built on the Tahoe frames.
Mm-hmm.
It was on the T-top thing. That's so good. I know. So good. Like, yeah, they'll get rid of, because this is like a $100,000 pickup or some shit.
Right.
They'll get rid of all the like Hummer stuff where it's like, oh, it's got the liftable suspension. They'll get rid of all that in the T-top and make a regular one. It'll be like $60,000. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I buy that.
Yeah. It's going to be, because I think that's their game plan here, is I think GM has been in, weirdly, GM is like, of all the legacy manufacturers, has been in like the electrification game for the longest.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm kind of thinking they tried the, what if we do a small $30,000 vehicle and get that to be how we get people to buy these things. And I don't think it worked the way they wanted it to. So they ended up getting like, well, what if we just go ahead and do a, you know, big ass SUV, and like, this thing has some hype behind it. Mm-hmm. So, and it's $100,000, which helps you catch up on your development cost a lot faster.
The other thing it's going to catch up on is, I want to know, and it'll be impossible to find the exact stats, how many Cybertruck sales does this cannibalize?
Right.
Did GM push their timeline to be like, dude, they're fucking it up. There's no way they're going to make it. And we have the Hummer name brand, which is way better than any weird wet dream thing Elon Musk can come up with, because this still has cachet. Yeah. They saved the Hummer card for the right time, I think. I think a lot of times brands either try to bring names back too early or they try too late. There's two times that they've done it correctly recently. GM has cashed in on the Hummer right when they needed to. They're using all of their brand equity on the Hummer.
Yeah.
Ford using their brand equity on Mustang for the EV is like, probably don't do that. They had a lot of other in-house names they could have used that would have been better.
Yeah.
I
mean, Thunderbird was right there.
Right. Mm-hmm. Ford cashing in on Bronco.
Yes.
Was a good idea as well. And they are going to make that into, and you know, the Bronco looks pretty good. That's a pretty good competitor for this Trailblazer, which does look great. So,
I think the Trailblazer competes with the Bronco Sport.
The Bronco Sport, right.
Yeah. Which the Bronco Sport, I haven't seen in real life, but the pictures I've seen are like meh.
I've seen it in person. It's a good looking car. Yeah. In person, it looks like a thing. You know what frustrates me about Chevy? Speaking of cashing in your brand equity, they did it backwards, and the Trailblazer was like the big one.
Yeah.
And then I don't want a quote. I work in the industry. I can get a quote whenever I want. Yeah. So the Trailblazer was the big one. It was like the big family one.
Yeah.
And then the Blazer was like the smaller sort of like it's an S10, but with a body on it type of situation. Mm-hmm. The Blazer's the big one. And the Trailblazer's the small one. I don't like that.
Listen, we have an Eclipse Cross now.
I guess so. It's all seats up to 5. Got more cargo space. Yeah, and that's a good looking car too. Mm-hmm. So if it wasn't a piece
Chevy, I like it.
It looks good. It's modern. It's like for this class of vehicle, right? Because SUVs are so far removed from being SUVs at this point. Right. However, see you spending $43,000 on a Blazer. Yeah. Now, granted, nobody's ever going to pay that.
Right.
There'll be a $3,000 this, and the dealer will talk out. You're going to get out of the door for like mid-30s, which is reasonable. Right. You can spec a RAV4 pretty high nowadays, so I don't know. Look at that, $3,750 allowance. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So it's less than 40.
Right. The thing with these, though, is how many of these have you seen in real life on the road?
I've seen tons of Blazers because I work right next door to the Chevy.
Okay.
So, I work in the ritzy city suburb type deal where people will spend money on a brand new Chevy because I live in the Midwest, which I still think is just wild. I'll tell you, not a single Chevy Impala has been sold in the state of California since 1989.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like there's none of them. You come here and they're everywhere.
Yes. But that's one of the things I miss about the Midwest is just all the old Americana stuff. But this thing in real life, it doesn't look good. Like it looks malproportioned to me.
See, the other thing that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
Compare the Blazer with what it's replacing.
Okay.
Looks much better than the Equinox.
1,000%, yes. The Equinox is in the annals of history. One of ugly is not the right word for it. One of the blandest cars ever developed by mankind.
The Blazer gets, not quite. They that would have been too easy. The Blazer gets just barely worse fuel economy.
Yeah.
Barely. And is bigger, significantly. There's no reason to be selling. They're just rounding out the leftovers from the Equinox production. Yeah. 2022 won't have an Equinox.
Yeah, that's a $28,000 car, by the way. We looked at it wrong. So as shown, 43.
Right. No, but that's my point though. Is nobody's spending $43,000 on one of these. Are they going to get to 25 cars? Yes, but it's not going to be 25 disparate cars. It's going to be 8. And then there's going to be there's the GMC one, and then there's also the Chevy one, and there's the Cadillac one. So that's 4. What is it?
It's Chevy, GMC, Buick, and
Cadillac.
And then you have, they bought, they're in Rivian. Is that who they have?
I don't think they're...
Or is that Ford who has Rivian?
No, I think they are Rivian, but I don't think they're Rivian anymore or something. Like there's something changed there. I'll have to talk to Michael. I'll have Michael back on the podcast. Talk to him about that.
Yeah. But so I think so it's basically if you get 5 platforms between those 4 brands, you're already up to 20. So and then all you need is a Bolt, you have your Bolt, which is
right.
Yeah. So
they're going to have to they're going to bring back an Impala, and they're going to do, I think, a Cruise, not a Bolt, not a Bolt, but a Cruise sized.
Yeah.
Electric, like a Model 3 competitor, basically.
Yeah.
I think they'll end up doing something like that too, and they'll have a couple of those knocking around. So that makes sense. And they can build most of those on the same platforms they already have. So that'll be okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's doable, but it's still not a lot of time. They must be really far ahead on the regular stuff because so far they have a SUV pickup thing.
Yeah.
And a way too small car.
Mm hmm.
Like you can't take the Bolt running gear and throw it under a Blazer. It's way too small, way too big.
Yeah. I think you'll see it in they have the Bolt SUV, right? That's what they have now.
Yes, I believe so. Well, or they were going to or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think so. Now that I think about it, no, they don't.
The Bolt Cross, whatever that's.
Well, they don't. I mean, I think that's what the Trailblazer will become is the Bolt Cross.
Yeah. So.
So they had that. They had the GM commercial, the 20 for 25 or whatever, 25 for 25 or 20 for 25, whatever the fuck it was. And then there was also a Jeep commercial, which does the very Fiat Chrysler Jeep thing of we're not actually going to show any of our cars because our cars are embarrassing. Yes. So meanwhile, so they play that commercial, and then less than 24 hours later, Peugeot announces that they're going to have their new Le Mans car, which has been like talked about. Oh, they're coming back for like the last 15 years, basically since they left. Fun bar fact, do you know how that worked, Ike, with Peugeot leaving Le Mans the first time?
No, how did it work?
So it was like 2010, 2012, somewhere in there, 2013. And they were at Sebring testing their hybrid car to go against Audi. They were at Sebring testing, and corporate called them and said, oh, by the way, we're either bankrupt or being sued. I can't remember. So all of you have to fly home because we can't be seen as having spent this much money on. They had already paid for most of the program. They're like, yeah, but like publicly facing, this isn't a good idea. So we're just going to have y'all pack up and come home. And so they said they were already like set up for a day of testing and like told like, oh, by the way, don't take the car out of the trailer. Just pack your shit up and come home because we're not doing that now.
That's awesome.
Out of jobs, and it was just awful. Anyway, so they did this commercial that was all about unity and all this other stuff, and like, oh, go to church in the middle of nowhere and everybody's together and it's great. So they did that at the same time, well, not the same time, but 24 hours later, Peugeot, which is now part of the Stellantis. We've taken all of the shit brands from Italy, we've taken all the shit brands from the United States, and we've taken all the shit brands from Europe, and we're now combining them into one super car conglomerate where if you have bad credit and a taste for an awful automobile that won't last very long, you too can have one in multiple flavors.
Yeah.
So Peugeot launches their Le Mans racer. Yeah. And then in the video for the launch, they kept showing off this, which is the 508 Sport something or other. Yeah. And it's like guy in English trying to speak about it, but it's like not very good English because he's French. And then it has like French subtitles underneath it, of which I am not super adept at anymore. So anyway, this is a good looking wagon. You could throw, I made the joke earlier, you could throw the I drive a Dodge Stratus badge on this. You could call this a Dodge Stratus and launch it here, and like people would buy that, no question. This is like a front wheel drive performance car. They have like a regular plain one.
Okay.
It's like lame. And this is a good looking car. I think they should sell this here. They should stop selling the awful Quadrimod Foglio. That's not a bad looking car. They could sell that.
Yeah. No. So here, could this replace the, I guess it probably couldn't replace the Charger 300 platform.
No.
It would be too like, it's smaller, obviously.
It's smaller, but this could be like a an Intrepid or a Stratus or a, not a Dart, obviously, because the Dart didn't do well. I'm sure that, is it 408 that's the smaller one? Yeah. How does that work?
I parked next to a Dart today, and I forgot it was a thing. Like,
there's some like they the numbers, I don't remember how Peugeot does it, where like the numbers like the 789 at the end is like the year, sort of like the model. The first number is size, so the 308 is like a tiny one.
Maybe
they could sell that as a Dart too. I'm just randomly typing in three number combinations behind the name Peugeot trying to find cars. They could sell that. That's a it's rendered. Okay, damn it.
Yeah,
Even that's okay looking.
Yeah, that's
that would work.
Yeah.
Oh, loading. Peugeot.co.uk. You value your privacy. No, you don't.
New cars. Let's go. Yeah.
210. So, new cars. Look at that.
Yeah, what we got going here. Yeah.
The 208. The 2008. Oh, because the 00 is the like lifted. Okay.
Yeah.
308. 508 Fastback.
Ooh. Yeah.
Ooh, and they've got like plug-in-y, is that what this logo represents?
Yeah.
So the 508's like the baller big one, and the 308's like the smaller one. They make like SUV. They could sell that.
Okay, hold on.
Dodge could totally sell this.
Yeah, no, 100%. Like, that would be, because what does Dodge, and I guess this is kind of the point, is they need these things because they do not have this segment of cars. Like they tried
it with, they have it with Jeep and then Renegade and all that. But
Which is a Fiat, which... But I'm saying like Fiat kind of didn't work out for them when they're small car stuff. So maybe Italian, not so much. French, a little bit better. Like it's the opposite of food for Americans.
Exclusive offers for you. Oh, please call me. please, I don't want to type in my name on YouTube, my name and phone number, but like, I want them to call me. So yes.
We'll go back to that. Yeah. Yeah, you can buy it online.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead. Just try to drop that off for me. Yeah.
I need you to go to the new cars though here. And I need you to figure out the Rifter right there.
The Rifter.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, I don't see that catching on. I think we're already pretty entrenched.
Is that that's better than the ProMaster though?
Yeah, but they already have like the Pro. See, part of it, the reason I don't think it'll work is even Dodge, I think, is smart enough to know that we already have like a parts supply line that's supporting the kind of Fiat stuff.
Oh, that's a good point.
And I think they're going to be reluctant to like incorporate a whole third manufacturer's worth of like training, parts, support, etc. into their brand mix. But then again, this is Dodge we're talking about.
Yeah,
these are electric cars, the E208.
Yeah,
wow, that's very small. I feel like you could, oh, auto car of the year, Britain's best cars,
there we go, it's all coming back full circle.
Wow, look at that. Yeah. So I feel like they could sell these anyway. Yeah. That was my takeaway from the, like, yeah, the Jeep ad was trash, but if Stellantis starts selling Peugeots here under the Dodge brand, I think they've got winners, because if you look at Chrysler's website, they sell two cars. If you look at Dodge's website, they sell two big cars. They don't have a small car.
Yeah, it's the two of the same car. Yeah, like
UK, and then they have Citroen to pick from as well, who makes really fun cars that we're all sort of familiar with if you're a car person. Models, and then we've got the C3, C4. These are all decent cars.
So my one of the cars I really want in my life is a C3. I think that's a great looking little car. Although that little, because okay, so
the this, ME,
yes, I want it. Give it to me. What the
Citroen friend,
Brian? This is adorable. I need this in my life.
Like, that looks dreadful. They would launch that and sell none of them.
They would sell at least one. That's not going to
happen. Oh. That's not going to happen.
Look how cute it is. Look how cute it is.
No.
Oh my god. Oh, hold on.
Do we need to go back to last week's episode?
We need to describe this to the people.
Do you know those, like, the joke of, oh, all the electric cars just look like pods? Like, yes. This one actually looks like a pod that you would put on some monorail thing. Yeah. It's so small. You can't tell which way is forwards or backwards on it. It's tiny. It's about the size of a door plus like a foot of overhang on each side. There's maybe room for one person. There's a picture of it driving on what appears to be a sidewalk.
Yeah.
Or like tiny lane in Britain anyway. And you could fit three of them across. They're so small.
You get a
500E. I'm not interested. You get a 500E for this. This small electric car thing, I'm not in on. I'm sorry. Like, if you live somewhere where this is practical, get a bicycle. I mean, for God's sake. Like, you're not going anywhere with it. What do you need cars for in America? Really, truly. Like, I'm honestly asking. You need cars for when you need to go to the store that's really far away, or when you want to go and visit your grandparents because you moved away from them. That's what you need a car for.
Yeah.
If you live in a city where that's a practical option, you have other transportation options available. That's a worthless car. And I'll double back on what I said last week. We're like, oh, electric cars are good. Actually, two-door electric cars are worthless. Absolutely worthless, especially if they have less than 100 miles. And there's no way this tiny fake French car thing has more than 100 miles of range. There's no possible way. Absolutely no reason to purchase that. None at all. You should get a C3. That's it. Citroen makes like two cars. They make the C3, the van, and then like the C4.
Yeah. Well, what was they had the, what was it, Citroen that had the DS3 for a little while there, but I think DS is its own brand now.
Yes, technically. Yes, it is.
But I really want a DS3. As soon as I saw one of those, the first time it was the Top Gear episode.
Correct.
But I, you know, even though it took place in Italy, I think, and it was all the Italian cars, I really like the DS3. And it's like so up my lane with like, it's kind of crazy, like, mentality it has. So I really want one of those. Although this being said, and like you said, like Citroen, not a known reliable brand, but you know, please
none of
let
these
us
are.
Yeah. Let me borrow a let us test some cars.
I don't think anybody ever has had an issue with these when they were new. I don't think you'd find a single journalist that was like, oh, this Citroen is terrible.
Right.
Because they're fine when they're new. They just don't last.
I absolutely love. I want more weird cars in the States. That's all I want. Like, what are we looking at here?
I'm just thinking while you're talking about new weird cars and stuff, I want to hit on something a little bit American before we go, because we are running up on like an hour here.
Yeah.
I know we're trying to get everybody to bed, etc.
Yeah.
They're going to, so the Ram TRX, I refuse to call it what they want. Oh, they have an ad for it here too. Great. Anyway, so people talked about like, oh, the engine being the Hellcat engine is the least interesting thing part of it, or the least interesting thing about it, because it's got long travel suspension and 37s and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And it's basically a Ram 1500 with the 700 horsepower engine and like tons of travel.
Right.
So the joke was like, oh wow, Ram built a better Raptor than Ford did, and Ford kind of started that style of vehicle where it was like, hey, this is stupid, like we shouldn't sell this, but people are going to buy them, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And they have now upped it to where you can get factory 37s, and they're going to put it into production with the V8 that's from the Shelby Mustang, which has 700 or something horsepower. So that'll be cool, I think. Yes. Not that the Ram isn't, I'm just not a big Dodge guy, as we've discussed.
Yeah.
But I think more in this space of the kind of super off-road, very fast pickup is something that I can get behind. And I like that a lot.
I think here's the thing with the Ford versus the Ram thing. Mm. I think, honestly, if you just want the truck to... Oh,
built-in X-pipe for all the bros. You don't even have to add one aftermarket.
Yeah.
Bam. Okay, anyway, I'm sorry.
it's got mid-pipe trombone. Wow. If you just want to take your car and keep it on the road and not like really take it off road, I think the Ram might actually be the better vehicle for that, even with its reliability issues. But Ford built the thing Ford did. Yeah. Ford built the Raptor initially to actually be an off-road vehicle and be capable. Whereas Dodge built it to kind of copy Ford. Like you don't see the Ram being used in a Baja race
yet. I'm sure it's coming,
right? But I'm saying like the Ram introduced was put out there factory team, and then they ran it in Baja. They did the endurance stuff with it, and I was talking about this with someone earlier today about the T-Rex or whatever the hell they want, the TRX, like, oh, it's eaten the Raptor because that's what it does. There's already like someone on like YouTube who's already like effectively like totaled theirs by like taking it off road.
Like, which like, I think people go too hard when they do it. So,
right. But I'm just saying,
full like, size truck of Texas. Oh, yeehaw.
Texas truck of the year. Also, holy crap. That like light bar on this thing is hideous.
That's so disgusting.
Like,
that's so awful. Like, it doesn't fit the proportions of the truck at all. Like, I understand that that's the style they're going for, and they really are trying to, it's like, oh, it's a trophy truck, it's the same thing. Like, it's not, though. It's not really a trophy truck, but like, we can talk like it is.
You had like 80 different ways to put that on the truck to make it look better. Like,
that's their market, though. Like, that's what I keep coming back to, is that they're for your inappropriate uncle who doesn't really have enough money.
It's the only thing worse than someone with bad taste is someone with no taste.
Yep.
Because no taste,
launch control. Oh my God. Out of here.
No taste means you kind of like take random shit and just merge it together that doesn't belong together.
Right.
Like this house when I bought it, it was like the upstairs was like ocean themed and the downstairs was like modern but country, and it's like, okay, none of this shit goes together. Like, because they just had no taste, you know, God love them. But like, this is just, it's no taste. It's, we don't know what we're doing and what looks good, so we just threw everything at it.
Right. So, people who are going to be about that is the thing. Like the people that like the Challenger and the Charger are going after a look. This provides the, I'm going to say it, Walker Texas Ranger look. that people are looking for, especially in the silver. It didn't hit me until then. That's the Walker Texas Ranger truck.
Man, alive.
Oh,
I just,
man.
I just can't get over
that. They're going to sell a bunch of these. It doesn't matter.
Whatever you call that, the bad light thing. It's just, it looks like a bad aftermarket piece.
It does. It's not shaped very well.
No.
Yeah. So anyway, Ford has launched now a competitor to this that will be finally in line. And now I will watch Toyota put some wheels on the Tundra and say that it's just as good. That was a frustrating thing. Now, granted, the MSRP for a Raptor is not usually what you end up paying.
Mm-hmm.
However, there was a time when they reintroduced the Pro Tundra that it was only $3,000 less expensive than a Raptor, which was like, why? It's not even close to this. What are we doing?
Right,
what are we doing here? So I look forward to that too when I am looking at Tundras and like, oh, do they have oh no, they don't. Okay, cool.
Yeah. And yet the Tundra will probably last a lot longer.
I wonder why. Yeah. Almost like they put their engineering into other stuff. It sucks. It sucks. Yeah. Because I couldn't bring myself to own one of these. I could probably own a Raptor, and I could probably, you know what I could own is a, they make the, what do they call it? The Power Wagon. No, I could own one of those. Like, that's fine.
Yeah. Even the Ram Rebel, which is a bit of a goofy thing. I really like the Rebel. Like, it was.
Power Wagon. There we go. There we go. Which is, and the Ford makes one that's called the Trimmer, I believe. And it's the same type of thing where it's like a recovery off-road. It's not for like racing off-roady, but it's still, they usually have like a winches standard. They've got a little bit more travel. Yeah. They're a little bit higher and that kind of thing. I would drive either one of those.
Mm-hmm. That's a sharp looking truck. Yeah. That's like, I don't know. Like I that's sharp. I like it. Like, ooh, Ford Ranger. Trimmer
off-road package.
Looks like they last made that in 04.
Yeah, there we go. See, that's a good looking truck.
It is nice. I like that. Yeah. That is my style of pickup truck, even though I'm not a pickup truck guy. All right.
Same. Anyway. That was today. We kind of complained about some stuff.
Yeah, I think we did a good job complaining.
But you know, hopefully next week we'll have less complaints and more tangible content, because we were just kind of fishing for the bottom of the barrel here. That was a terrible
pun. One last thing. This right. Jeep commercial.
This Jeep. Okay. Yeah.
Was beyond a doubt the worst commercial I ever saw, because it pissed off everyone. Like, I did not see anyone who was like, oh yes, this made me want to buy. Everyone was like, either like, I was a Springsteen fan and now I'm not because he's this, or it's like, I was a Jeep fan and now I'm not because of this. And it's like, the left is angry, the right, the only thing they're doing is they're uniting together to hate Jeep, like, and their stupid messaging, and it made no sense. Like, the whole thing
is, Jeep really the brand you want to use to bring that messaging together? No. Which is like a very, like, I remember going to the Jeep presentation for like the new Wrangler and stuff, and like they have a very particular like customer base that's not like broad. It's not a very broad demographic. Would not like Chrysler or Dodge or Ram, or like, I think you could have made with their respective customer profiles a bigger difference if it had been like a Ram commercial about inclusion and equity.
Yeah.
But I think that would have actually pissed off their core customer base. So like, that wouldn't have worked for them. The Jeep thing was like safe, but like ultimately ineffective.
Yeah. Just, we don't need to be brought together by a Jeep commercial. Like, we don't need like, we don't need a car commercial telling us to love one another.
Like, and like, the sentiment is fine, but like, if you genuinely want to do like togetherness, don't use Bruce freaking Springsteen and all other, like, do something actually worthwhile. And also, like, on one hand, I can applaud brands for like, pretending that they like give a damn or whatever, which is like what you're supposed to do. But then at the same time, I'm like, this is so not genuine. Like, I actually don't give a fuck, and like, you shouldn't even bother. Yes. And so I'm kind of caught in this like midpoint where it's like, do I care? Do I not care? Are they supposed to care? Are they not supposed to care? I don't know.
Well, I've to make this, because this could be a whole hour on itself, and I'm exhausted. Right. Yeah, but I think what it comes down to is sometimes people do, sometimes brands do shit effectively. A lot of times they don't. And what, like, this was the most, like, most wrong you can do while trying to be right. Like, does that make sense? Like,
yes.
Because, you know, the people I know, everyone I talked to today, I'm like, what did you think of the Jeep commercial? No one liked it.
Well, it was, they tried too hard to be inoffensive. They right. sat on the fence too hard.
Yes. That is exactly how to put it. And then straight up Springsteen took us. And now he needs to write a song about trying to get it out of his town. Like, that's how he, yes, that's what he writes about, right? He's getting out of town on a motorcycle because dad doesn't like me or some shit.
Something so, like that.
Yes. Take that, New Jersey. I know that's your guy.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Can't even make a left-hand turn. Jug Wait, handle what? Shit.
Anyway.
It's 1 o'clock in the morning. I've been up for too long. Ryan, I'm going to say, everyone, thanks for listening. Good night, good evening, and all that stuff. Talk about pets nuts.
Yep. Have your pets spayed or neutered. Thank
you. All right. Bye, everybody. We love you.